Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise God. I love singing those songs. Oh, my. We have so much to look forward to. And thank the Lord. You know, we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. How he knows how to change every detail, every story, all the things that are in opposition. How he knows how to make a way. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. I woke up not feeling so good today, but thank the Lord. He sure knows how to help us. I feel pretty good now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings, your goodness, your mercies, your kindnesses. We thank you that you brought us out of the miry clay and you set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. God, you put a song in our heart. Oh, Lord, even praises to our God. I pray that many would see those praises, hear those praises, oh, Lord, and turn their hearts to thee. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you would also pour out of your Spirit. I pray, oh, God, that you touch us afresh, that you put faith in our hearts. Oh, God, you know every need. Oh, Lord, before we begin here tonight, God, you know, oh, God, how to change the things that need to be changed. Oh, God, you know how to give us hope in this world where, oh, God, things could look so dismal if we just looked on the surface. But, oh, God, we have you to lead us. Oh, God, we have your promises. We have a great hope in our hearts. Now, I pray, oh, God, that you'd move here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that your Spirit would come down. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would fill with the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord. Oh, God, for here we are. We're poor and we're needy. And, oh, God, we can do nothing without you, Lord. Now, I pray, oh, God, that you'd use this message. Speak to every heart. Oh, God, help those that are in great need, Lord. Oh, Jesus, save those that are perishing, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, give hope to the hopeless, Lord. Oh, God, and I pray, oh, God, that you'd heal those that are sick, that you touch, Lord, oh, God, with your presence from on high, that touch, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, changes everything. And I pray that there'd be faith here. Oh, God, let the unrepentant come to repentance, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that, oh, God, you'd pour out of your Spirit, Lord. For we need you even right now, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. Oh, have your way. Use these words. Use this message, God. Oh, God, I can do nothing without you. I ask for your help. In the name of Jesus, work in every heart, Lord. Open up the hearts. Oh, God, give us a mind to perceive, Lord, and put a hunger and a thirst within our being, Lord. Oh, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It's kind of interesting sometimes, you know, you think you're going to go a certain route. You got a certain message and all at once, everything turns. And that's pretty neat how the Lord does that. Oh, he did it today. Yes, he did. Praise the Lord. Let's go into the word. I'm going to call this message, If Any Man Thirst. Amen. If any man thirst, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, you know, Amen. It's time. It's time. Oh, yes, that early in that latter rain that needs to be poured out upon all flesh, it is time. Amen. We have very little of it left from what I can see. Know how we need to turn to the Lord with all our beings, with all our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Jeremiah 29 here to begin. Just a verse I'm thinking here as I begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Verse 13 says, And ye shall see me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go now to another verse here. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, praise the Lord. And here, just, oh my, I'm going to go to verse 6 here. Verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. Very positive, isn't it? Amen. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh my, you know, there is a need. Oh, there is a need. So many people seek after the things of this world, the things that are obvious. But oh my, how about the things that are deep down inside, that place that the Lord has reserved for himself? Oh my, that need, oh yes, to be filled by the presence of the Lord, by his Spirit, oh yes, with his Spirit. And oh yes, there is a need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
And there's that promise for those that will do so, that they shall be filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to go to the Psalms now. Praise the Lord. I'm turning to Psalms chapter 63. This is a psalm of David. It says he uttered this when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And here it is. He writes here, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I believe, you know, David had a spiritual hunger for the Lord. I think he knew the one that satisfieth the soul. And oh, yes, as here he is, there in the wilderness, all the things that were upon him, all the needs that he had, yet, oh yes, there was this need, oh, that he needed God above all else. And oh, that desire to seek God. Early, early will I seek thee. Oh, the first thing, yes, I'm going to seek my God. And then he talks about that hunger within, that spiritual hunger. He says, "My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Oh my, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no satisfaction for the soul. Oh, there is no deliverer. There is no one. Oh yes, to fill that spot that's void and empty without Jesus Christ. And here it is, oh, David's great desire to see the power of God in his glory, oh, his presence. Oh, yes, that fulfillment that comes into the being. Oh, yes, when you're in the presence of the Lord. And praise the Lord, yes, that knowledge that his loving kindness is better than life. Oh, yes, therefore, yes, I'm going to praise thee, Lord. I'm going to rejoice in thee. I'm going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, therefore, blessing the Lord. And yes, while I live, while I have my being, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, there's only one who could satisfy the soul, and that's the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And David knew it. Praise the Lord. I believe that's why he could go through those periods. And oh, yes, because there was a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, yes, he would call out to him and God would answer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So let's go to another psalm right now. Psalms 42. Amen. We're talking about thirst here tonight. A spiritual thirst for the living water. Amen. That can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus. And here we are. Psalms 42. And here the writer is saying, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Of course, we know that the heart reference here is a male deer. And yes, you know, we know that water is essential for life. The physical water in this case, and yes, all the creation needs it, and here it is. He's talking about that need that even a male deer might have going after the water brooks. But here the psalmist is comparing something in the soul. Oh, yes, a need of the soul. And so, yes, in his soul is panting after God. And verse 2 tells us, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, yes, there was a desire in the soul. And yes, there was a need. Oh, there was something that needed to be satisfied. And oh, yes, that thirst for God, his presence, his ways, his touch. Oh, yes, his healing. Oh, yes, those things that he has promised for those that believe in him. Amen. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Oh, yes, he's talking about, oh, yes, the things of this world, and oh, how heavy it can be at times. And oh, you know, sometimes those tears, I just flow, and you know, it's one thing after the other. Well, there's those, the skeptics, the troublemakers, those that are around us that, you know, might scorn, might make fun, and you know, might cause trouble, and you know, oh, look, you're crying. Huh, where is your God? Huh? But oh, yes, the psalmist said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Oh, yes. But then there was a battle going on in the soul. And he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? In other words, disquieted means, why art thou troubled? Oh, yes. And oh, that encouragement that he's raising in his being. He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, yes, this man knew where his help was. He knew where his hope was, but yet there's a battle that he's fighting here. And he says in verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. And so, as he fights this battle, oh yes, he's calling the good things to remembrance, the victories that have been won. Oh yes, oh, great feats that were won in the land of Jordan, and oh, in the place of the Hermonites, and on the hill Mizar. And oh yes, so as he fights this battle, he's calling on the Lord. He's praising the Lord. Oh, his hope is in the Lord. Yet, oh, there's a struggle going on. And verse 7 tells us, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, he feels like he's drowning in his sorrow, in his need, in his trouble. And oh, he feels like the waves are going over him. Oh, the billows are going over him. He's drowning, it seems. But yet he knows there's hope in the Lord. He says in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. Oh, how he encourages us despite the troubles of this world, despite the hardship and all the adversities, all the conflicts, all the ridicule, all the problems that develop. And oh, God knows how to command his loving kindness. Oh, he has good things for his people. He has blessings for his people. You know, so often I consider when, you know, something happens, you know, how it could have been so much worse. You know, the ceiling falls, for example. But yet, nobody's hurt. You know, and in fact, the objects aren't hurt. You know, yeah, I guess it was time for the ceiling to fall. But oh my, you know, the Lord took care of it. And how it is, you know, he's with us. He knows how to make a way. He knows how to guide us. And oh, we see his loving kindness as we walk this earth. Things that we don't deserve, his great mercies, his compassions that fail not. And oh, praise the Lord, that hope that is so deep within. And he talks about in the night, that song that is with us. Oh yes, and that prayer that is with us. Oh, and how we need to continually, constantly have that prayer unto the Lord. Oh, he's that rock. He's the stability of our life. We know that we can do nothing without him. And we know, what can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So in verse 9 he says, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Oh, that mocking, that taunting spirit, oh, that comes from the lips of these enemies. But praise the Lord, we serve one who is greater. We serve the way maker. We serve one who can help us no matter how difficult the story may be. And then that question again as the psalm ends, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And here we have the answers. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh, praise the Lord, we are so blessed to know the living God.
Amen.
Oh yes, to be his children. And oh yes, to have that hope deep within. Oh, thank the Lord. But actually, the portion that I would like us to really ponder here tonight are the first two verses here. Oh yes, that search for God, that thirst for God. Oh, that need for God. And yes, as he wrote here, as He began this psalm as the hart panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh, he talks about that thirst. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, that hope that is within. Oh, yes, that belief that one of these days we're going to see him and see his face and stand in his presence and forever be with the Lord. But praise the Lord, oh, there was this thirst deep within. Amen. And oh my, there's only one, as I have said, who can satisfy that. Amen. I'm turning now to the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. And this is a wonderful, exciting chapter too in so many ways. But let's go down to verse 17. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 17 here states, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that precious? Oh, there's a promise here. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You know, as I was reading this portion, I couldn't help but think of Hagar back in the book of Genesis and Ishmael, her son. And oh my, if we go to the 21st chapter of Genesis briefly here, we know that Hagar was going through a very difficult situation. She'd been cast out of her position and out of the place that she called home. And oh yes, because there had been a problem, and at this moment when they were having a celebration, she had weaned Isaac, and on this occasion the son of Hagar, who had been born unto Abraham, was mocking. And that was quite an issue with Sarah. And yet I know the Lord was using this. And she told Abraham, her husband, to cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac, she said in verse 10 here in Genesis 21. And of course, this was not an easy thing for Abraham. But God talked to Abraham and told him that it should not be grievous in his sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. He told Abraham to hearken unto the voice of Sarah, because that was God's way of bringing Isaac into the fold, and in that promise that Isaac would be the one in whom the seed would be called. And then there was a promise that God would also take the son of the bondwoman and make a nation out of him, because he was Abraham's seed. So here's this very heavy thing. It tells us in verse 14 here in Genesis 21 that Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And you know, as it would be there in the wilderness, eventually that water is going to be gone. It's going to be spent, as it tells us in verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And you know, it's so amazing. She wasn't the only one that was crying. Obviously, the child, the lad, was crying too. And it tells us in verse 17, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation.'" And it's so amazing when our eyes are opened and we begin to see the things that we could not see before. Oh, what a wonder it is. And praise the Lord, here in this dire need and this circumstance, God opened the eyes of Hagar so that she could see a well of water. Amazing. It had been hidden to her before. But here it is in verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." And praise the Lord, it tells us, "And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." But praise the Lord, what a wonder it is. Because there was a cry that went forth. Oh yes, Hagar had no answers of herself. All she could see was death, hopelessness, or no ability to bring water to her son and also for herself. But there was a cry that came out of her mouth, out of her heart, out of her being. And yes, the lad was crying too. And the wonderful thing is, God has such mercy. He has such grace. And he heard the cry of the lad. Oh, praise the Lord. And all at once, something that was there but invisible was shown to Hagar. And she could see that pool of water. Oh, praise the Lord, so that they could yet be nourished and survive. And that thirst could be quenched. Oh, praise the Lord, as we read here in Isaiah 41. I believe, oh, we're talking about a spiritual thirst for the living water. It asks here in Isaiah 41, oh, yes, verse 17, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst." Oh, there's a promise here. Promise here. "I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." And look at this. Verse 18 tells us, "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together." All plants that do not usually grow in a desert. But oh, praise the Lord knows our needs. He knows how to make us flourish. He knows how to give us that living water. Verse 20 explains that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Oh, praise the Lord, what God can do. Oh, yes, people look to so many others. So many other resources, so many other possibilities. But we serve a mighty God. And oh, yes, he is the only one who can give us that living water. And oh, praise the Lord, here's that promise. Oh, as he considers those that are poor and needy, I believe that's talking about a spirit, of an individual that is humble, that fears the Lord, and is searching for the living waters. And yet, you can go from here to there, searching all over the place, and it may seem like there are no waters. And how that thirst continues, because there's only one who can satisfy our soul. So the tongue faileth, for thirst. But praise the Lord, just as God heard Hagar's cries, as God heard the cries of the lad Ishmael, God hears the cries of those that thirst for the living waters. Praise the Lord. And yes, he says, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I believe he's talking about bringing water into places where it never was before. He's talking about making provisions for his people. And most of all, satisfying the soul. Oh, that thirst for the living waters. Oh, the thing deep down inside that's been reserved for God. And how it is, the Lord knows how to do it, that we may see, that our spiritual eyes can be opened, just like Hagar suddenly could see that pool of water that was right there. It became visible because God opened her eyes. And so it is, so many things are hidden to people in the Word of God. They're blind to it. They have no knowledge. They may think an entirely different way. They may be living in the traditions of men and religion. But what a wonder when the Lord opens up those blind eyes, and all at once the things of the Word of God are revealed, and the understanding comes. It's only God who can do this. It's only God who can bring it to pass. Yes, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. It didn't happen because we went to university and studied. It wasn't because, we lived in a certain place and had, that kind of advantage. No, it's because the Lord opened up our hearts and gave our spiritual eyes the ability to see and know and consider and understand the things of God. Praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. Our God knows how to provide for every issue. And I can't help but also add here, I know the story of the Ethiopian eunuch there in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. He was a man that was hungry for living waters. He was a man that was searching. He was reading those scrolls from Isaiah 53, and he didn't know what to think. He didn't know of Jesus. He didn't know what had happened. But God saw that hunger in that man, and he sent Philip to him. He sent Philip out to the desert to reach one man. Praise the Lord. See how God sees that hunger of the soul. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit of the living God talked to Philip and told him to join himself to that chariot where the eunuch was. And praise the Lord. Yes. Philip joined himself. There were questions to ask. Understandest thou what thou readest? And of course the eunuch said, how can I except some man would guide me? And yes, he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him in that chariot. How it was. wonderful time they had together as Philip taught him from the Word of God. Oh, yes, and explained that Isaiah 53 was a reference to Jesus Christ, who had come into the world to bring salvation, oh, to make it possible. Praise the Lord, oh, that we might have eternal life. And praise the Lord that eunuch received those words that Philip brought forth as he preached unto him Jesus. And you know, what a wonder, because here they are, they're in the desert. They're in the desert. But yet, as they go on their way, they come to certain water. There's water in the desert. And the eunuch saw it. And he said to Philip, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Oh, he had that understanding. God had opened up his eyes, his understanding. He knew, now knew that Jesus had come into the world. And he now knew that, oh, yes, he needed to, oh, yes, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 37 here in Acts 8 tells us, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And that eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And from there, yes, they commanded that chariot to stand still. And I love how it happened. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. And praise the Lord, it wasn't, you know, just a small little stream. You know, Philip didn't sprinkle him. No, they went down into the water. Amen. It tells us that clearly. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And verse 39 says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Praise the Lord. Oh, God has a way. See that hunger, that thirst for righteousness? Oh, the Lord knows how to satisfy the hungering heart. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to make a way. Oh, for that one that has that thirst for the living waters. Well, we see how Jesus ministered to the woman that was at the well. So I turn now to John, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. And what a story that is. Because there, as Jesus was at the well they call Jacob's well, there he was, this woman came to draw water from that well. She was a Samaritan woman. And lo and behold, to her great shock and surprise, Jesus asked her to give him to drink. The woman couldn't hardly imagine that, you know. She realized that he was a Jew. And here he's asking her for a drink of water. This woman of Samaria, with the realization that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But oh my, there was something greater that Jesus was going to offer her. Verse 10 here, John 4 tells us, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord, the water that Jesus offers. Oh, it's from a well that never goes dry. It's a well that is so deep that there is no bottom to it. Oh, there is no end to that living water. And it's adequate to quench the thirst of the thirsting soul. Oh, there's enough. Oh, yes, when we need more, there's more to draw upon. Oh, there's more that can be obtained. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's always more for those that seek the living water. And oh, this woman was getting thirsty. It says in verse 15 here in John 4, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. And oh my, this woman was beginning to get it. She's beginning to perceive that there's something in this man that is beyond normal. Oh, she said in verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then all by, to this woman's great amazement, Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah. Actually, to the amazement of everyone that would read this, even the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, what a wonder, what a marvel it is. Oh, yes, but here it was. Jesus offered this woman living water. Oh, a water, yes, that would spring up into everlasting life. Oh, what a marvel. A water that she could partake of and never thirst again. There would always be more and more and more to draw from. Praise the Lord, oh, that wonderful living water that Jesus Christ offers. We go now to John, the 6th chapter. Looking at a verse here, verse 35. It tells us in John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Again, he's telling those that were there, oh, yes, that he had something to offer. He had a spiritual gift to give forth. He had a way of satisfying the soul. He had living waters that they could partake of and never thirst again. Oh, he had bread. He had manna to give them that would satisfy the hungering soul. And if we turn now to John, the 7th chapter, we see that Jesus said more here, looking at John chapter 7, going down to verse 37. Tells us here, John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then it's explained. It says in verse 39, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Oh, praise the Lord. That's the living water. Oh, that he was speaking of. Oh, it had not yet been poured out as Jesus spake there at that point on that great day of the feast. But oh, yes, he was offering it. And he was telling them, oh, yes, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, oh, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, in your innermost being shall be this water. Oh, yes, that satisfies the soul. Oh, yes, that quenches the thirst, that need, oh, that spiritual need that all individuals have. Oh, that Holy Ghost that was not yet given, but would be poured out on the day of Pentecost. And oh, yes, how the scriptures had related to it. Isaiah 41 as we were reading, and Isaiah 44 as we were reading. And now as we're turning to another portion of scripture in Isaiah, praise the Lord, I'm going to Isaiah 12. That wonderful short little chapter here. Oh, yes, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 12, as it relates to the day when Jesus Christ would come forth upon the scene. Oh, yes, it tells us that in that day, thou shalt say, "O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Oh, praise the Lord. The name Jesus, Hoshua, means salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, our mighty God. Oh, yes, the Spirit of God put on flesh to come to this world to become our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, and how the prophets looked forward to that moment when the Messiah would come. Oh, the Christ would come. Christ, meaning the Anointed One, would come forth and offer salvation, a salvation that would satisfy the soul. And therefore, it tells us in verse 3 here, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Oh, praise the Lord, those wells of salvation that Jesus was referring to when he spoke with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And oh, in that wonderful day when those living waters would be offered, tells us in verse 4, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." Oh, praise the Lord, the song of the redeemed, that song that he puts in our heart. Oh, that knowledge, oh, because, oh, we've been recipients of the salvation of our God. Praise the Lord, it says in verse 6 here, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Oh, how he comes and dwells in the midst of his people. Oh, yes, where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, he has promised that he would be there in our very midst. Oh, praise the Lord, he is among his people. And therefore, oh, yes, as we live on this side of Calvary, with joy we can draw water out of the wells of salvation, out of the wells of Jesus. Praise the Lord, Hoshua, the one who came on the scene to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift we have been given. What a hope we have in our soul, and how the prophets spoke of it. They didn't understand that which they were writing, but they knew there was a day when the Messiah would come. And what a moment when he came upon the scene. Oh, and he began to talk about those living waters. Oh, that thing that would satisfy the soul. That thing of which, if they would drink thereof, they would never thirst again. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder, what a gift he was bringing forth. And he offered it to those that would believe upon him. Those that would believe on him, as the scripture has said. Oh, yes, as the prophets had written, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, how it all comes together. Oh, how it all was brought together. And if we go to the prophet Joel, we read how Joel prophesied of that living water also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go there. The second chapter of the book of Joel. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to verse 21 here to begin here. The second chapter of Joel. He writes in verse 21, "Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil." And here's a promise, verse 25. "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Oh, there was that time when it was taken away. The sin, the rebellion brought forth consequences so that the blessings could not flow. And oh, yes, oh, that which had been a blessing was destroyed, figuratively and literally at times, by the locust, by the cankerworm, by the caterpillar, by the palmer worm. Oh, the great army that God sent among them. Oh, yes, to show them that they needed to get right, that they needed to repent, that they needed to turn from their sin. But praise the Lord, this time of restoration. Oh, yes, the former rain that came down moderately. But oh, there's a promise that not only, oh, would there be former rains, but there would be latter rains that would come down to replenish the souls of the people, those that had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, those that were looking to God for restoration, for hope, for something to satisfy the need that was deep within. And yes, this promise in verse 26, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Oh, you know, they might talk about us. They might ridicule. They might, you know, pretend that we are the strangest creatures they have ever seen. But praise the Lord, God's not ashamed of his people. And oh my, we need his approval anyway. We must not look for the approval of man. But oh yes, we don't want to be ashamed of God. We don't want him to be ashamed of us. And praise the Lord, those that live in his realm, that oh yes, turn the heart to the Lord. Oh yes, and seek and search and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, he says, my people shall never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And he repeats this again, and my people shall never be ashamed. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, how it will be on that day when we stand before the Lord. Oh, the great moment of rejoicing. Oh, when we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord. And here it is. He foretold of a moment that would come forth. Joel wrote in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful promises of God. Oh, yes, as he promised that the time would come when he would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Old men would dream dreams, and young men should see visions. Oh, yes, upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days he was going to pour out of his spirit. And those wonders that he was showing in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Seems like that happened when the Twin Towers came down. Oh, my, you know, we're in the end times, folks. Amen. And oh, yes, it talks about the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. I believe we're on the edge of eternity. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we still have that promise. If we will call upon the name of the Lord in true repentance and surrendering of the heart, praise the Lord, there's a promise here of deliverance. Praise the Lord for the church of the living God, for in Mount Zion, oh, the church of the living God, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And that wonderful call to repentance. Oh, yes, that call to serve the Lord Jesus. And so it was. Joel had prophesied. And so amazing there. The first and second chapters of the book of Acts, as they were waiting in the upper room as Jesus had instructed them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And there they were, after Jesus ascended, waiting for the promise of the Father. Praise the Lord, it came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, as they were all together in one place, in one accord. And here it was, that feast day of Pentecost. Suddenly, oh, the Lord began to manifest his power, his might. Oh, that sound from heaven came as a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. And praise the Lord, there was another manifestation, that of cloven tongues, split tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And as all this was being manifested, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, it tells us in verse 4 here in Acts 2. And oh, they could tell it, they could know it, because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord, it came forth, that which had been promised, that which the prophets had proclaimed and declared, that which they had waited for, that which Jesus spoke of to the woman that was at the well. Oh, praise the Lord, and those others that he ministered to.
Amen.
There it is. Oh, yes, there were many there at Jerusalem. It was a feast day of Pentecost. And it tells us in verse 5 here in Acts 2, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Praise the Lord, they were all speaking with other tongues, those that were in the upper room. And oh, yes, it was spread abroad. And oh, they began to hear it, the multitude that came together. And they were amazed, they were confounded. It was a marvel. Because here, these Galileans were speaking in their own native languages. Yes, it tells us in verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Pergia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya beyond Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And oh, they were all amazed. And of course, you've got the doubters there. And we're in doubt, it says, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter spoke up, oh, yes, Jesus had given him the keys to the kingdom of God. And here it is, it's time for him to open the keys. Here he is, he's standing there with the 11. Here he is, lifting up his voice. And he said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But all he said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he came forth. Oh, to talk of Jesus, to speak other prophetic utterances. But oh, yes, he told them very clearly, very precisely, that that manifestation that they were witnessing, that outpouring of the Spirit of God, those other tongues that were coming forth from those that had never learned those languages, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He makes it clear. This is that which Joel spoke out when he spoke of when he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. This manifestation was a pouring out of God's spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, with the telling that sons and daughters would prophesy. Young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, oh, no respecter of persons, but the Lord pouring out in those days of his spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, praise the Lord. Peter went forth to declare Jesus to them. Oh, he told them to their face, oh, yes, that God had raised up Jesus. Oh, the one that they crucified and slain. But all this was a fulfillment that David had spoken of before. Oh, he quotes from Psalm 16 and makes it known, oh, yes, that, oh, yes, it was going to come forth. And that promise that, oh, yes, to David was made that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he had raised up Christ, the anointed one, to sit on his throne. Verse 30. And he tells us in verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Oh, Peter told the multitude, those that had gathered there on that feast day of Pentecost, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. He goes on to say, for David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And praise the Lord, oh, this began to strike the nerve. It began to enter into the hearts. Oh, they were pricked in their hearts. Oh, those that had cried out even earlier, oh, the desire to crucify Jesus. But now, oh my, they began to perceive that, oh, yes, this was that which the prophets had declared and spoken of. And all that they needed to turn their hearts, their lives over to the living God. Verse 37 tells us, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter, again the one who had been given the keys by Jesus Christ, opened up that door. He opened up that door on the day of Pentecost. You could just see him, you know, like the key went into the lock, and here it is. It's opening now as he declares it unto the people. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Oh, how positive, how convicting, oh, how clear it is, that need to repent, to turn from one's sins. And yes, follow the command to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and he said, oh, you know, it wasn't just for them right then, so they could minister to the multitude that had gathered on the day of Pentecost. But no, he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank the Lord. It wasn't just for those moments, but that call is still ringing right now. Oh, yes, that need to turn to the living God in repentance, surrendering of the heart. Oh, praise the Lord, following that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And it wasn't just for them, but it was for those that were there. It was for their children. And it was to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. And you know, the Lord has called you unto repentance. You obeyed that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, those living waters, that Holy Ghost baptism, that's for you. Praise the Lord. It's for all that the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. Oh, Peter made it so clear there on that day. This was that with the prophet Joel had declared, all that wonderful promise, those living waters would flow. Praise the Lord. Oh, the thing that satisfies the soul, that pouring out of the Spirit of God upon all flesh. Praise the Lord, so that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions upon this. The servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, as Jesus said, if any man thirst, oh, let him come unto me and drink of those living waters. Oh, praise the Lord, as he offered those living waters to the woman at the well. Oh, that well that is so deep, that never runs dry. Praise the Lord, it's still available. It's still here. And how we need to partake of those living waters. Praise the Lord, that water that satisfies the soul. Oh, praise the Lord, that water that we can drink of that has no bottom to it. Amen. But it reaches down. Oh, yes, to give us eternal life. Oh, yes, to quench the thirsting of the soul, that we might be partakers in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And be participants of his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. If we seek for him with all our hearts, he will be found. Praise the Lord, those living waters are for us today. Oh, if you ask, if you ask, if you seek, oh yes, if you allow the Lord to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, he will do it. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Those waters that never run dry, that satisfy the soul, that are ready and available for us even this day. Amen.
Amen.
Praise our God. Praise our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 269 and sing Springs of Living Water. 269.
Thank you.
Safe. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.